Hi, we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
This is Sports Crunch with T-Crom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. Spring has officially sprung and the 2024 NFL draft is fast approaching with just 5 weeks left until Roger Goodell officially puts the Bears on the clock. In that spirit, the freight train that is our annual dash to the draft series continues full speed ahead with the fourth of seven previews of 2024 draft prospects by their respective positions. We already dove into the offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, and defensive back classes, and today we analyze the running back class. Joining us to share his scouting reports on these potential assets to an NFL running game is our good friend Jeff Barnes, who is the senior NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. It's always a pleasure having you on, Jeff. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Thanks again for having me.
You're welcome, and thank you once again for donating your time and your amazing football mind to our program at this time of year. Always appreciated, Jeff. And last week, shortly after NFL free agency began, we saw a rather unprecedented market for running backs develop, especially by today's standards. And a big reason why that happened, according to Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, is that the NFL is very down on the 2024 running back class. So I have a two-part question for you, Jeff. First, what is your overall assessment of this crop of running backs in the draft? And second, regardless of what you believe, why do you think NFL scouts and personnel executives feel the way they do?
I think because you don't have too many full-time lead backs in this class. I think you have a back that fits the committee style, a guy that can be a lead back, but you don't want to overwork him because you're afraid of injury and wear and tear. Guys that are not big enough to be a lead back, guys that are big, but they don't have the extreme burst. So you have a bit of everything in this class. I'm a little higher on it than what a lot of people are saying because of that factor. There's a lot of talent, but it's in pieces. It's not a complete back that you're seeing in this class. And that's what contributed to what you saw last week in free agency. Complete backs, the guys that they had to have, went the first couple of days of free agency. Now you're seeing guys that aren't those complete backs still lingering around because they're not going to spend the money in free agency on a running back like they used to. So they spent the money on the guys they thought were complete, and the rest of them are getting their contracts sparingly. And you're going to see the same thing with this draft. The guys that they think are closer to complete or more what they're looking for in their backfield or what teams are going to take earlier. And then after that, other guys are going to fall until they need them.
Excellent points as always, Jeff. And without further ado, let's start breaking down these running back prospects. The consensus top running back in this draft, at least on industry boards, is Jonathan Brooks of Texas. Last fall, Brooks was well on his way to being selected first team All-America until he suffered a torn ACL in November. Based on his film alone, why do you think most consider Jonathan Brooks to be the best running back of the bunch?
Because he's the closest to completing the group. He has the explosiveness. He has the shiftiness to make all the cutback runs. He has the vision. I think he's a little impatient at times running the football, but that's something he'll gain as he goes along at the NFL level. And also the main thing is also he's a guy that comes out of the backfield, is effective as a pass receiver. So all of those elements contribute to him being a top back in this class because he's a guy that's most the closest to being a complete back in this class when you look at it all.
Absolutely. And as you said a couple minutes ago, the biggest knock on this class is that there are very few, if any, complete backs in this class, and Jonathan Brooks is the closest to it, and that explains why nearly everybody has him as the top running back on their boards. And even though Jonathan Brooks is still recovering from that aforementioned ACL tear, would you still be surprised if he isn't the first running back off the board?
I would. Granted, his injury, you know, when they looked at it, didn't seem as bad. He got a good medical review from what I heard. So the prognosis for him is good, but there's always a team that may like somebody more. Maybe they value explosiveness because they have a bigger back, but they don't have explosiveness in the backfield. So they may take somebody more explosive ahead of them. There may be teams that are looking for it. They see a complete back there, but they may want a grinder, a pounder, a more A.J. Dillon type running back. So they take Braylon Allen before. So there are teams that may be looking for a specific thing. As we talked about, there's more of a different skill set back in this as opposed to complete. So they may wait because of the injury. It may suit their interest to get him later and get the guy they really want ahead of him. So that's the only thing that would surprise me about it, is if they take certain players like the kid out of Oregon. It would be, if he goes before him, that would surprise me because he's a smaller back with a limited skill set compared to him. But I think he goes number one. I don't think the injury hampers him too much, but that would be the only reason I see somebody passing on him, is that they want somebody particularly for their certain set of skills.
That makes a lot of sense, Jeff. And if you want to determine who the most accomplished running back of the 2024 crop is, look no further than Michigan's Blake Corum. Corum was the linchpin of the Wolverines National Championship offense last season, as he ran for an FBS high 27 rushing touchdowns. However, NFL.com's Lance Zierlein sees him as more of a three-down backup at the pro level. Do you think Blake Corum is more of a second-string running back, even though he has an every-down skill set?
No, I can see Blake Corum at the lead of a committee backfield. The thing about it is how much juice is left in Blake Corum, because they use him a lot in Michigan. We know Michigan was a ground-and-pound team. They played a lot of defense. They didn't use J.J. McCarthy's arm a lot. So it was a lot on Blake Corum in that backfield. Did have the ability to split time, so that kind of saved some of his legs. But what is the mileage on Blake Corum? That's up to the NFL teams to decide. He shows you the burst. He shows you the long speed. He shows you the ability to run with toughness inside the tackles. He demonstrates a lot. The question is, how much of a workload can you put on him? Is he a 200 carry back? Is he a 300 carry back? And that's the biggest question. If they believe he's a 300 carry back, by all means, he'll be the lead back in somebody's backfield. He'll probably go higher than people expect. I think right now the sweet spot for him is a 200, 250 carry back, a guy that's going to carry the ball between 8 to 15 times a game. So I think that's where you get the most out of him. You don't wear him out in 2 to 3 years. So I think that's what the projection from him for him is going to be. I think it pushes him into a late day two, early day three slot, because I think where most of the running backs in this class are going to go is that range, day two, more especially late day two. So you'll probably see him in a run. If there's a run on running backs on day two, he's going to go on day two. If they kind of start to fall back closer to day three, right off the board day three in round four, you'll see him and some of those other players go.
And if there's any team who may believe strongly in Blake Corum's abilities, it's obviously the Los Angeles Chargers, who are coached by Jim Harbaugh, who obviously coached Blake Corum at Michigan. Hypothetically speaking, if Blake Corum goes to the Chargers on late day two or early day three, as you said, can you see it becoming a bona fide NFL starter?
Absolutely. I think what you look at with Blake Corum is he played in a pro-style offense for the most part. He's a guy that can pick up blitzes. He can go out there and catch passes out the backfield. He can run in short yardage and goal line. He can run between the 20s. He gives you everything that you need. The question is the volume. How much volume can he take? I think if he goes to the Chargers with his former coach, I think they'll find a workload. He knows exactly the workload he had him in college. He'll give it to him again in the pros, and he'll get a nice tandem back to go along with it.
Absolutely. And speaking of explosiveness, and you mentioned explosiveness a couple minutes ago, a favorite running back of many in draft media is Jalen Wright of Tennessee. A big reason why, one would assume, is that Wright posted an explosive play, which is a play of 10 or more yards, on 25.4% of his carries in 2023. Given that the NFL highly covets skill position players who are known for making such plays on a regular basis, would you be surprised if Jalen Wright is the second running back off the board?
Oh, I think there are teams that are definitely looking for that burst and speed that he has. We know what kind of offense Tennessee runs. They're a high-octane offense, so players like him are at a premium there. The bigger backs don't last long because they're going at such a fast pace. His ability to wear defenses down and that offense worked. At the next level, though, he's going to have to kind of pace himself. He's not going to have as many big runs. The guys to the next level are almost as fast or just as fast. So he's not going to have as many of those big runs. So it's going to be more about pace. How much of a workload do you give him? Is he going to be the lead back? you know, is he going to be able to give you those tough runs inside? Because you're not going to be spreading out in the gun all the time. You're going to have condensed formations. You're going to have 12 personnel. You're going to have sometimes a fullback in the backfield with you. Stuff that he didn't have at Tennessee. Can he run with a lead blocker in the backfield with him? That's going to be things that we're going to see a lot more out of him at the next level. He's going to have to adjust. There's a bit of adjustment when you come from that spread offense where you're running those stretch and zone runs coming across the face of the quarterback, as opposed to coming downhill with a lead blocker. So there'll be some adjustments for him, some different reads with the holes being different, the formations being different. But overall, I think his burst isn't going to change. I think the explosiveness isn't going to change. It's just a matter of what scheme he's in and what they like to do with him and how to get him involved.
Indeed, Jeff. Fit is very, very, very important when it comes to projecting players to the pro level. So are you saying that his best role in the league could be like a 10 to 15 touch per game kind of guy?
Absolutely. I think because you're looking at him, he's an explosive runner. He does run with some power, but he's playing in a spread offense, lighter boxes, lighter defenses. It's going to be a different thing at the next level. There are lighter defenses, but they're faster, more aggressive, and he's going to take a lot more contact than he took at the college level. So I think what you're going to see from him is he's going to have to get used to that grounding, that wear and tear, and be able to show the durability that he's shown at the college level. Sometimes guys, when they come from that spread set, when they get at the NFL level, they got to run. The wear and tear is different, and they wear down faster. The injuries come a little more often. If he can get past that portion of his game, he's going to be a consistent runner for a very long time, very Josh Jacobs-like.
Oh, that's a very, very fascinating comparison there. Why the comparison between Jalen Wright and Josh Jacobs? Because Josh Jacobs, he is more of a bona fide lead back than Jalen Wright is.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, like I said, the offense was different for him. So if you think Josh Jacobs played at Alabama, they played more pro style. He got a little more eye, a little more lead, a little more to condense sets. You didn't get as much of that from Jalen Wright, but the skill set is there. Yes, he is explosive, but he's a guy that can run between the tackles. He can run off tackle and give you the outside runs. He'll catch the ball out of the backfield. But it's the explosiveness, the one-cut ability, the ability to get upfield quickly in a hurry, and he's not afraid to take some contact. Stuff that's very similar in style to Josh Jacobs coming out.
Fascinating indeed, Jeff. And teams in need of a change of pace back at this draft may be highly considering Oregon's Bucky Irving, who you alluded to moments ago. When it comes to such a role, Irving fits the bill given his skills as a receiver out of the backfield, plus his superb contact balance and low center of gravity. However, Bucky Irving is undersized. He's only 5'9", 192, and his lack of explosiveness was on full display at the combine. Were you surprised by that aspect of his performance in Indy, and can he still be an effective changeup option in an NFL running back stable?
I'm not as surprised. Sometimes it doesn't translate to the combine when you watch some guys film. I watched the combine. I went back to the film. I am fine with his explosiveness. I'm fine with what he does. I think the biggest issue is going to be the wear and tear. We talk about a lot of guys his size. Yes, they can still provide the explosive run, but you're going to have to run with toughness even on the outside at the NFL level. Defenses are faster. They flow faster. So when you're running outside, when you hit that crease, you got to hit it and still run with the same power that you would run with inside. You have to break tackles. You have to be able to do those things in space and on the edge that you do inside. So I think the biggest thing is the usage of him, how they use him, the ability for him to absorb the contact and be able to keep going. I think what you got to do is you got to have somebody who's going to take more than a different style of runner who's going to really wear on defenses. You cannot have another, you know, light-footed runner that's going to dance around and do all the things that he does, because defenses aren't going to get a change of pace and they'll be able to gauge him a lot better. But if you have a back that loves the contact inside, that's going to really wear on defenses inside, that's not the same speed, and then you bring him in where he's a lot faster, that bolt of lightning, it's going to give defenses a different look and make him a lot more effective.
Bucky Irving, another case in point as to why destination matters for these players. And a fascinating study at running back this year is Trey Benson of Florida State. Benson has exceptional, and I mean exceptional, size for the position. He's 6 foot, 216, and he showed crucial improvement in both blitz pickup and catching the ball in 2023. When you combine that with his overall run strength, the guy rarely goes down on first contact and forces some rare, I mean rare, missed tackles. You have a potential three-down NFL back. However, Benson also averaged just 13 and a half touches per game last season and only hit the 20 carry mark in one game during his 2-year collegiate career. Do you think Trey Benson is fully capable of shouldering a bigger load in the NFL?
I think he is. I think the main reason is, one, Mike Norvell is a multi-back guy. So unless he has a real stud that he believes he has to get the ball 20 times, he's going to use multiple runners. But that worked to his effect, worked to his benefit. Not being overused at that level, the way he runs, his run style keeps more wear, more tread on his tires. So when he gets to the NFL level, you can use him more. The question is, once again, he hasn't proven that he can do it and be durable enough for a 17-game season. It's hard enough to be durable enough for a 12-game season. So I think the main thing is you're going to gauge that at the NFL level during his rookie year. You're going to split time. You're going to watch him. You're going to give him a game or two where he gets to, you know, run with his tongue hanging and dragging to the ground. You're going to test that when you get him at the NFL level. And if he's capable of doing it, you keep rewarding him with more carries. But if you see the wear and tear, you see the loss of production, you see the fall off, you got to maintain that two-back system with them. I think you're going to have a second back with them anyway. But the more you put on them, instead of a 10 to 15 carries, a 15 to 20 carry type day is going to be more of a kind of thing. You got to gauge by what you see in camp.
He is Jeff Barnes, ladies and gentlemen, senior NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. Follow him on X at JeffBarnes29. And Jeff, it's time to play our favorite game of draft season, buy or sell. And in this game, I will mention a running back prospect that we have not discussed yet. And you give us a detailed scouting report of that back and let us know whether you buy or sell his NFL stock long term. And we start with Marshawn Lloyd of USC. Buy or sell Marshawn Lloyd.
I told you it was a lot higher on this class than most. You're going to see it in this buy and sell segment. I'm buying Marshawn Lloyd. I think the production's there. I think he's a player that's going to move up to the next level and continue to be a productive player. While he may not be a full-time back, I think he's going to be an effective carry week after week in the NFL, even if he's not going for 1,000 yards a season. If he's a 600 to 800-yard back, I think he's a very effective back at the next level.
What aspects of Marshawn Lloyd's game do you like the most?
I like the toughness in his running. I like the explosiveness, the ability to hit the edge and run away from defenses. I think all of that's going to play into the fact that you can use him inside, outside, in the passing game. He's going to give you a little more pass protection than a little people believe. He shows the effort to do it, so I believe the pass protection will improve. So I think he gives you everything you need. While I'm not totally sold on his ability to last a 17-game season as a full-time starter, I think him splitting carries with another back, it's going to be a way that he goes out there and is highly effective at the NFL level. He has the skill set. He gives you everything you want, toughness inside, long runs, ability in space, you know. So I think a lot of the things he does allow him to move up very well.
Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue. Buy or sell Tyrone Tracy Jr.?
I'm buying him for one reason. When you watch him, I get very Tony Pollard-like traits, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield, line up as a receiver, come out of the backfield as a back, still run the ball effectively inside and outside, more outside than inside. He'll give you some tough runs inside, but that's not his best thing. But the ability to do all of those things is going to fit into what teams love to do. They love those backs that can motion around the formation and create matchups. That is the new wave of the NFL, being able to create matchups at any position on the field, and he does that for you. So I think that's what's going to be his saving grace at the NFL, his ability to move around the formation and create matchup problems.
Very good point there. Tony Pollard got a very nice new contract from the Titans in free agency last week. And Tyrone Tracy Jr. bringing a similar play style to the NFL could land him a similar deal down the road. Ray Davis of Kentucky. Buy or sell Ray Davis?
I'm buying him, but I'm buying him on the fact that Ray Davis is that tough runner that teams are always looking for, right? You're always looking for a guy that's going to get you short yardage. You're always looking for a guy that's going to run hard for you inside the 20. There's going to guide you when you're backed up on your own and is going to be able to get you off your own goal line. He gives you that. While he's not going to be the most exciting runner between the 20s, but in those areas is where he's going to make his money. He may not be a long-term starter, but he's a guy that's going to come into games for teams. And in those situations, when they want to go 12 personnel, when they really want to grind out clock and do things like that, he's going to be that guy. So I think that's where he fits in more. more of that kind of Dameon Pierce type runner that's going to be a grinder, come out there and give you that hard-nosed blue-collar effort week after week. I don't think he's going to be the most explosive running disc. He did have some explosive runs at times in college at Kentucky, made those quarterbacks look pretty good. But I think overall, his main thing is at the next level is being that blue-collar effort runner that's going to continue to keep the offense and the chains moving.
Absolutely. And now on to another one of those explosive backs, Isaac Garendo of Louisville. Buy or sell Isaac Garendo?
I'm buying him because, once again, another guy, and I'm not big on comparisons, but when I looked at some of these backs, I see a lot of comparisons. And when I look at him, Garendo reminds me a lot of Tyler Allgeier, a guy that's a thicker body guy but has explosiveness, but he finds ways to be effective. He runs away from people you don't expect him to run away from. He's a very productive runner. The next level, I see that same kind of runner, a guy that's going to be a lot more productive than people don't expect. He's going to come out of nowhere to a lot of people, that a lot of fans that aren't expecting to be effective. But overall, very similar runner to Tyler Allgeier, a guy that can run hard inside, but yet still pull away on the edge on outside runs. He's a tough runner. I like him at the next level.
Will Shipley of Clemson. Buy or sell Will Shipley?
I'm buying Will Shipley because Will Shipley's another one of those gadget guys, right? You can move him around the formation and create matchups. He can still run for you inside. So I think Will Shipley, much in that tradition of Clemson backs, you talk about Travis Etienne, is that same kind of back. Will Shipley gives you that. Not as explosive as Etienne, but overall, the guy that gives you that matchup problem for linebackers that you're going to have to Sonny on them, they can run and cover. So he's going to give teams exactly that matchup piece. Once again, we talk about those guys that aren't complete, but they give you something that you want. Here's another matchup problem that teams are going to want and be able to utilize.
Audric Estime of Notre Dame. Buy or sell Audric Estime?
And I'm buying Estime more on his film than his workout. 4.7 240 didn't enamor anybody. But what we've known with Notre Dame running backs like him and Kyren Williams, they don't run great 40s, but their film is impressive. Right? 70-yard runs on film. So he has long speed. Is he going to do that consistently at the NFL level? No. What he's going to do is move the chains for you, get you touchdowns in the red zone, get you first downs. So he's not going to be a high draft pick. He's definitely a day three pick, but he's a guy that's going to stick around to the next level and keep teams moving on the field.
Moving on to a guy who absolutely stole the show down in Mobile, Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. Buy or sell Rasheen Ali?
A few weeks ago, this would have been a sell for me. But the more I dive back into this tape, I like it more and more. Once again, another gadget guy, that speed guy, that elusive runner, that shifty guy, is another one of these runners who, overall, you're not going to give this guy 15, 20 carries a game. But if you get him 7 to 12 and get him some catches, he's going to be an effective player in your backfield. He has the speed and elusiveness in space. You can get him on screens. You can get him working out of option routes out of the backfield, picking on some of those linebackers that are a little slower footed. He's going to take advantage of space and zone. He's going to give you a lot of yards that are hard earned and possibly break some of those in the longer runs. So I think that's where he fits in. Question is, can he pass protect? That's the question I'm worried about with him. But overall, I think as a gadget, he's going to fit some of these teams' offense to a T.
Absolutely. Struggles at pass protection is a common thread amongst those gadget-type backs, and that's something NFL teams are going to have to live with if they want to draft guys like Rasheen Ali. And another guy that turned heads down in Mobile is Dylan Lobby, or Dylan Lube. I'm not sure how you pronounce that last name, out of New Hampshire. Buy or sell Dylan Lobb?
Dylan Lobb is another one of those running backs that I like. I'm definitely buying Dylan Lobb. And it was before the Senior Bowl where he cemented himself. Like I said, it's hard for me to sell the backs in this class. I see something that fits the next level in almost all. There's some that I don't have a draftable grade on, but they're not on your list. So Dylan Lobb is one of those guys that gives you some toughness inside, very shifty runner, excellent pass catcher out of the backfield. So I think that's where he's going to make his money, coming off the bench, giving teams some quality carries as a change of pace, being a third down back that can come in there and get some catches on third down and break those into first down runs, possibly a little longer. He's going to be excellent if teams are running that 2-minute drill at the end of the half when teams are backing off, willing to give you yards. Here's a guy you don't want catching at linebacker level in space. He's going to hurt you. So I think Dylan Lobb is going to fit in at the next level. I think he's definitely a backup, a part-time back. But he's a guy, when he comes in, he's going to be effective.
Absolutely. And now on to the penultimate name on our buy and sell list for running backs, Cody Schrader out of Missouri. Buy or sell Cody Schrader?
I'm buying Cody Schrader because he's going to be an underrated guy that finds his way into a lead back somewhere. And it's going to be a committee backfield. There's not going to be a guy that's going to carry the ball 25 times a game, but he'll be the guy that comes into a committee backfield and performs well enough, and all of a sudden he takes the starter's job. He's getting the 15, 20 carries a game while the other guys are getting 8 to 10. So I think what you're going to see from him is he's a guy who comes in with that ability to run inside the tackles, shows you some explosiveness on the outside. And I don't think he's as fast as a lot of people give him credit for. The 40 time is amazing. But when I watch the film, I can see him getting caught on a lot of those longer runs at the next level. But 20-plus yard runs for running backs are just as good as 60-yard runs. You may not finish him in the end zone, but you're moving the chains. You're getting chunk plays in the running game that draws those safeties up and opens it up for the passing game. And he's going to be able to do that for offenses at the next level.
And last but not least, in buy or sell for running backs, Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. Buy or sell Isaiah Davis?
Here's another guy that I would have sold a few weeks ago, but once again, going back to the film, looking at him, I'm going to buy him for one reason. He's another one of these guys that, not exactly the biggest, but what he does is he's very shifty. And he does that inside and outside. His ability to bounce off tackles, the ability to squeeze through small gaps in the line of scrimmage and turn those into bigger runs. It's going to be a little bit different speed for him coming from South Dakota State to the next level. I do think he'll be a backup. I don't think he'll be a starter, but I think he's going to be a guy that comes in, gets on a roster, and continues to grind out yards. Before you know it, you'll be calling his name later in the season.
Once again, he is Jeff Barnes, ladies and gentlemen, senior NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. Follow him on X at JeffBarnes29, and let the record show he's much higher on this running back class than the NFL apparently is. Thank you once again, Jeff, and that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But our 2024 Dash of the Draft series continues in just a few days as Jeff's sidekick at Team NBS Media, Bill Carroll, returns to help us break down the off-ball linebacker class, so stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at SportsCrutch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crutch with a K. For Jeff Barnes, this is David Cromwell saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats and kittens, stay cool.